really good what you're doing there. Maybe I'm just trying to have a few, one of those little rolls in the ceiling.
Jason Shad with PremierGuitar.com. We're backstage at the Keith Urban Show with his guitar tech, Chris Miller, and he's going to walk us through some of the guitars that Keith is using and some of the pedals and effects and amps that he's using on this tour as well. So thanks a lot, Chris, for taking the time to talk to us.
Hey, no problem. Glad to meet with you all. Sorry it's a little loud, but it's a live environment.
Yeah, we have a sound check going on right now behind us, and I know that Keith's gear changes pretty frequently, so this will be kind of just a snapshot of what today's rig is like.
Absolutely. This is just one moment in time. I mean, it's nothing is in stone here. We're always searching for the elusive perfect tone. You know, I'm sure everybody can relate to that. It's, you know, today's perfect tone is, okay, we did that. Now tomorrow, let's make it better. So that's what we're doing.
So why don't you pull out a couple guitars here and let's see what he's using.
Okay. This one is an old original Pensacur. That is also that survived the Nashville flood. Actually, it didn't totally survive, but John Sir was kind enough to put it back together in pristine condition. We left some of the damage from the flood just because, well, it earned them. You know what I mean? It would be kind of sacrilege to make it like it never happened, because it did. As you can see, it's not a true humbucker. It's actually two single coils, but wired in series like a humbucker. But they're actually two single coil pickups. It's a beast of a guitar. It's really killer. It really is.
Can you tell us a little bit about the foam on the behind the nut?
A lot of times you'll get a microphone, you'll get a sympathetic tone or a ring of the strings up here. And Keith's not a player afraid of volume by any means. And at his mic position, with the monitors and whatnot, you'll hear overtones coming off the peg head, and it's just enough to kind of drive you batty.
Yeah.
So while it looks terrible, it's simple and effective.
Yeah, right.
A little piece of foam just keeps that. Otherwise, you get these little, and you're like, what the hell is that? And that makes it go away.
Right, right.
So, like I said, it's pretty caveman simple, but it works.
Cool.
If you want to see some of the back, you can see some of the flood damage on this one, but actually, this one did okay. I have no idea what kind of magic John worked on the neck. That took the worst, most all the flood guitars. The necks, it was amazing how far they would swell, and then some of them came right back like it'd never even happened. But some of them grew almost an eighth of an inch on either side.
And these are, and he, instead of replacing the necks, he kept the original necks on it.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of them had to be, there's a couple that had to be replaced. They were just so far beyond gone. This is built by Fender's master builder, Yuri Shishko. I apologize for mispronouncing your name. But he's got to be one of the, if not the best Fender builder I've ever seen. He built it the original, and he did it, he resurrected it after the flood. This one did get a replacement neck, it had to. And then again, you'll see another low-tech solution. The work on this thing is pristine, but if you see, the side dots are very, very discreet and subtle. And unfortunately, one of the drawbacks to a live application is you can't see them. So, again, low-tech, easy, simple solution. White gaff tape, you can at least get a clue.
Right.
When you're going for it, you need some kind of reference of
where
you're going, where you came from. I don't know if you want to hold it real quick. The other thing is, not only does it look cool, it weighs nothing.
Yeah, it's really light.
It's actually a really killer sounding and playing guitar. Not only does it look, you know, some of them that look badass. Well, they look badass.
Tell me what the neck's made of.
It's really a pristine piece of bird's eye maple. I mean, a really nice figuring to it, as you can see. And I don't know if you can get a shot. He's actually arched the top just enough so that if you look, so it'll throw the light. So when our LD hits it with beams, it throws them. Instead of it just being a flat plane, it actually, well, like a mirror ball, it throws it in different directions. Again, I've It's a little dirty. I haven't cleaned it yet for tonight. But and then this piece here, if you look real close, the neck pickup, this is actually a separate tile that comes out so they can adjust it. It's pretty crafty.
Yeah, right.
That guy's good. Yuri's really good.
This is one that Keith
really, really enjoys playing. It's not actually a Fender. It's made by a gentleman in Nashville, Dan Strain. He makes what's called what he calls the Danocaster. Very faithful tribute to the old original Tellys. Again, it's a nice lightweight body. He uses a pretty substantial Veet. Well, he builds whatever you would like, but he started enjoying a thicker neck, a more traditional neck with a V taper to it. It's only a couple years old, but it sounds and feels like you're playing an old 50s Telly. It really does. I think it's Voodoo pickups in it. I know the bridge is a Voodoo. I think they're both Voodoos. It's a great sounding Telly. It really, really is.
What type of strings does Keith use on his guitars usually?
We use all D'Addario's. The Fenders is 10 to 46. Gibson's 11s, 11 to 49s. The acoustics, where he's favoring smaller bodied acoustics, because as you know, a lot of times why the big dreadnoughts and the super jumbos and all, they sound great when you're sitting on the couch roughing out the idea, but when you're playing live, they're kind of, sometimes they get lost because they're too big and you can't, you know, it's hard for the sound man, and they're also feedback nightmares. So we're playing a small, slightly smaller body acoustics, so we're only using, 11 to 53s for those. We're actually using one of John Mayer's model. Was it the OMJM model? And yes, we too get plagued by your typical feedback problems. So you do what you do to, you know. But our sound guys are both brilliant, so it's not a problem. And then again, we go to the low tech. How do we do it so that we can have wireless? And sometimes it's on a strap, and sometimes you're seated and no strap. It's gaff tape and dual lock. Don't want to put dual lock on the finish, so we put gaff tape and then dual lock to hold it down. It's, you know.
And what kind of wireless units are you using?
Sure, UR4s. Now, nothing beats a cord, but when you're playing live and in the show, you know, they sound great. They really do. And never had an issue one with them.
And I noticed he sticks picks on the side of all of his guitars. What kind of picks are you using?
The Dunlop, the Hercos, and I don't remember which weight these are. They're the gray ones. It's the mediums. What size are they? 75s, 0.75. And, you know, one of the things, one of the quote-unquote secrets of his sound, is he holds the pick sideways like this. So you can grab the string and it pops it more, or you can get that, I don't know if you can, that sound versus no sound. That's that sound, and then there's, and it's a lot more prevalent with a, you know, with an electric, mm-hmm. You know, but that's just, he's been doing it that way for, I mean, that's his thing, it's
yeah.
Forever. This is one of my personal favorites for style-wise and sound. This is 52 gold top. Joe Glazer from Glazer Instruments made this for him. I don't know if you're familiar with the original one. They go the, and you can't palm mute them.
Yeah.
Intonation is really just sort of a suggestion. Still kind of a suggestion because of the fret placement, but it's much, much, much better. And you can actually play it, rest your hand. This is another flood survivor. All this damage that you see is from the flood. You know, where the lacquer's just coming off.
Did Keith find that some of the flood-damaged guitars had a different sound to them when they came back?
Absolutely. Some of them actually sounded better.
Is this one?
No, this one just sounds just as great as it did beforehand. This one was just a killer guitar, and fortunately it still is. Some of his Tellys, the 40th anniversary ones that he's kind of known for, they significantly lost weight. And they sound better. Really strange. I can't really explain it. They just do. That's pretty much it for this guy. This one, up until recently, he used to do the song Stupid Boy on a 57 Junior. which is a badass guitar also. It only recently got set on the bench for the 52. So they both sound tremendous, they really do, but having the extra pickup helps. This is what one of the Fender's La Cabernita Tellies, but we changed it. It's supposed to have a Filtertron pickup in it, and we put it, again, Joe Glazer did this for us, put a an original Gibson Mini humbucker in there. Just a different voice, and then we changed it out to that just because. This one kind of falls in and out of rotation. Right now it's back in. As you can see, we've got options. You know, it's how do you narrow it down every night? You got to keep it fun, you know. So
in total, how many guitars do you think Keith brings in and out of his collection per tour?
Per tour? Oh God, it's almost infinite. No, I mean it never ends. It never ends. We're constantly, like we got a break coming up for about 4 or 5 days, and I guarantee when we come back, it'll be. I got a new guitar, a couple new pedals. Let's try this amp. I mean, it's just how we do it, you know. You got to keep it fun and keep it exciting, you know. A couple years ago, Keith really started getting into the Eric Clapton model Strats. In fact, we've now got 3 of them out on the road. Again, he really likes the neck shape, which Eric's model, I know, has a pretty pronounced V. It's not real thick, but it's substantial. He likes the mid-boost circuit quite a bit. It just gives you one more flavor to go to. And when you're out and about, you don't have to come running back to your pedal board to hit it. You can just do it, which is handy. Again, you'll see more of the low-tech foam. And then this one, just for fun, I put a Perloid pick guard on it, just because. Like I said, we're up to 3 of these out here on the road now, and they all get played every night. This particular one gets played on 3 or 4 songs.
62-335.
At some point in its life, it used to have a Bigsby. A lot of this checking, it was pretty heavily checked to begin with, but this weird milky haze and stuff, this is also another flood survivor. And this one took a pretty long time to recover, as you can imagine. We're all really surprised that it recovered as well as it did. Still sounds amazing, it still plays great. This one gets used every night for the song Sweet Thing. I believe this is the guitar it was written on. You know, it's like never in question of which guitar we're going to use for that. It's here, you know. You know, it's this one every night. Most of it's played in the middle position, you know, and then the lead, of course, is in the bridge. But most of the rhythm, it's, you know, wide open, and it's in the middle position, which, I don't know, it's not one of the more traditional settings, I guess, you know what I mean? Most guys are either one or the other. But
especially on a hollow body like this, yeah.
Exactly. Pretty heavily delayed signal for this one. Really cool, you know. It's kind of a cool tone, you know what I mean? It's a distinct, you know, we're not hiding the fact that there's some delay, you know what I mean? It's very prevalent, that one. This is the guy that the 52 knocked out of rotation, was the 57. This one's my personal favorite out of the collection. And this is also a flood survivor, too. And this one, you can hardly even tell it went through it. You know, again, it's got some of the, well, a lot of this was already done to it. But some of this haze, you know, this it came by honestly. This one sounds every bit as good as it did prior to the flood. You would never know.
Original pickups and everything
in
it?
Yep. Yeah, this one's all original. Yep. And it just sings.